God's word for our consideration today comes from the first reading, the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes in the 5th chapter. In the 10th verse, it says, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity." And in verse 16, "This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind?" Excellent question. What point is there to toiling, working, slaving for something you will never get your arms around? Solomon suggests it's a waste of time. You can't collect the wind. You can use it under certain conditions, but you can't gather it up. And you sure can't store the wind. Solomon's being poetic, of course. He's not really talking about the wind. He's making a comparison. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon equates the wind with wealth. He writes, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income." King Solomon speaks from experience. He had experimented with everything this life has to offer, and in the end, he found himself to be the richest, empty-hearted man in the world. His wisdom came at a price. Now, material goods are goods for a reason. It's good to have them. But it's a very short step from goods to gods. What Solomon learned the hard way is that when you turn goods into gods, you set yourself up for a life of what he calls vexation or worry, sickness, and anger. You know why, don't you? More money and better goods never satisfy. Now, that doesn't stop human beings from trying to put those things on the throne of their lives, but the problem is not with inanimate objects like money. The problem is in us. We're always trying to measure our own worth. And much of the time we use measurements that have little to do with what God has said about us. For example, if pay becomes the measure of your worth, that creates an open-ended situation where enough is never enough. You're always checking to see how you compare with others who are doing similar work to yours, right? Why? You're measuring your own worth. An obvious example would be the world of professional sports, where players leave millions of dollars on the table and risk not getting paid at all in hopes of signing a bigger contract that reflects their perceived value relative to other athletes. You and I don't have that particular problem, I don't think. But we do the same thing. Just on our own scale. We may not be holding out for another $1 million, but we might be holding out for more affection or more respect or more recognition for what we've done from someone, somewhere. We are always measuring our worth. And if we're not using God's standard of measurement, we'll use other methods. Methods that take us to dark and lonely places. to emphasize this, Solomon says, "There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand." Do you get Solomon's point? We come into this life with nothing, and we leave the same way. Both the rich and poor break even. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus comes, echoing Solomon's message. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples how difficult it will be for those with wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Why would Jesus say something like that? It's because he knows the main temptation of wealth is making it your functional trust. Do you know what that means? Your functional trust is whatever you really look to when you need to know that you matter. When you need to know everything's going to be okay. It's very easy to do that with wealth. But it can be anything. A romantic relationship, a great reputation, having people admire you and what you've done. Your functional trust is whatever your heart turns to when you need to feel secure. Where it goes first. And the wisdom of Solomon and Jesus says that nothing can handle the weight of our need. Nothing can handle the responsibility of being your functional trust except your Father God. The disciples were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "If it is difficult with people with wealth to enter the kingdom of God, then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, it is impossible, but not with God. For nothing is impossible with God." What human nature finds so hard to believe is that God has already measured your worth. He has already measured your value and has declared you a treasure. You are covered in the perfection of His Son, Jesus. So the Father looks at you and sees you as perfect and loves you with a perfect love. Jesus gave up everything, even went to a cross in order to gain you. You were worth it to Him. And do you understand how monumental this is? It means the end of self-measuring. The end of constant comparing. The end of toiling for the wind. When the functional trust of your heart runs to Jesus and rests in what He has done for you, when you delight in the fact that God delights in you, first of all, that gives you everything you need for a victorious life. Secondly, it makes everything else snap into place. And things like wealth and success and friendship and love and family, they can all be enjoyed for what they are because you're not making them more than what they are. They're all gifts that come from the same source, a compassionate and generous Father God. And it doesn't take long for it to hit home that these gifts were meant to be shared. And here's the thing that throws people off about this sharing. There are no rules. what to give, how much to give, who to give to. You are free to decide all of that yourself because you are free from toiling for the wind. You are free to give and share in a way that reflects the enormous gift that has come to you in Jesus. He demonstrated love for you in willing sacrifice, and the Bible says it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. There was a joy that was placed in front of Jesus that made him able to persevere through the horrible pain. Do you know what that was? It was the joy of gaining you. The joy of bringing you in. The joy of knowing you and loving you forever. You are Jesus' joy. Make that the functional trust of your heart. And you may be surprised by the amount of generosity that comes out of you. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Your word to us is always a challenge, but it is always so refreshing to hear the gospel. It's challenging because we are always measuring ourselves, comparing ourselves, trying to live up. And yet in your gospel, we learn you've already measured us. You've already taken stock of us, and you have given us a status of not just good enough, but in your Son, we are perfect to stand before you in his righteousness, in Jesus' clothes. His record counts for us, and before you, we are redeemed and free. Lord, please overwhelm us to the point that your generosity becomes ours, and that we go around looking for people to help just like you do. May we do this in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, who sacrificed everything for us. Amen.